Amen. I want to thank God for that. The theme of our Roar Conference this year, and as you all know, as you've been hearing, is armed for battle. And that is the scripture that God has given us. And I want to just read it to everyone because I don't know if anyone has come up here to read it. But it says, you have been armed. You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. Amen. So I want to give God some glory for that because we don't realize the power that we have in the Lord, you know? See this, the reason why God just showed me this, when we started our prayer line, there has been so much spiritual warfare going on about. We've been teaching about the armor. We've been praying. There's been healing. And let me tell you something, the attacks has been real. I've been attacked in my body in every which way. When I was talking about a doctor, I can't count the doctors that I've been to in this last 2 or 3 months to find out what's been going on with this cough and all that kind of stuff. I can't count the different opinions that I got, all the tests that I got. And it's all been a distraction to try to come against me. To minister, it's been a distraction. Listen, there's distractions that try to hit the body of Christ because the devil don't want you to do what you're designed to do. He don't want you to minister. He don't want you to be encouraged. He don't want you to have peace and joy. He don't want you to know your identity. Do you understand this? The devil is, he's a real being, and we want to, and it's not that we're trying to give him all kind of credit and blame everything on the devil, because what I've learned in life is that we open the door to him. He can't come against us. Do you understand? I mean, he could try and try and try, but he only comes at us when we give him open access. Do you understand? He's been defeated 2,000 years ago. And that's what we have to realize. There's not a devil behind every rock, but he does prowl around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. But it's up to us to know the truth, to know our identity, to know who we are in Christ, and to know who our God is. That's how we win a battle, because we know that the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. And so I wanted to talk to you about, and first of all, I want to give you the title of this message tonight. It's called Set Your Battle in Order. Okay? Set your battle in order. Everybody just look at your neighbor and just say it. Get in your spirit. Set your battle in order. Amen? And so the battle that's being set in order, it's a commanded structure. It's strength. It's a disposition of personnel. Amen? It means that there's got to be preparation. There has to be preparation to set a battle in order. And so we have to know the battle that we're fighting. See, the thing of it is, we throw around the word spiritual warfare very, very easy. And we throw this word around battle very easy. But see, the thing of it is, spiritual warfare, it's very, very serious. It's very real, and it's very, very dangerous. It's very dangerous because, see, there is two forces that's fighting for our souls. There is wholeheartedly an evil force, there's a demonic force, and then there is God Almighty and his holy angels and Holy Spirit that is fighting for us. But there's a real demonic force out there in the unseen realm that we can't even see that is fighting for us. Amen. And so beneath our tangible surrounding lurks an invisible spiritual realm where unseen battles rage. Okay? And so I want to just share with you. Now, we done heard. First of all, I just want to thank God for Rachel. You painted a beautiful picture from the beginning to the end of how of salvation and power and how the enemy comes against us. And then Elsie just knocked it right out of the water when she just spoke truth, amen, about just about how the enemy works, about how God works, and how we're in the middle of all of it, and just the power and how to fight, amen. So I want to share with you tonight, and this is what God, listen, I've been going in and out of this Bible, and God done put all these different messages in my head. And I'm like, God, what do you want me to share? Because there's so much. And I don't want to be all over the place tonight, but there's a couple things that God really wanted me to focus on. He wants me to focus on teaching you how the enemy could really work in our life. And there's an example in the Word of God. There's many examples in the Word of God, but for some reason, God laid this on my heart. Because, see, a spiritual warfare comes in many, many different forms. It attacks our mind. It attacks our soul. It's the enemy of our soul. See, our soul consists of our thought life. It's our will, our mind, and our emotions. That's what gets attacked. Do you understand? That's where envy lurks. That's where jealousy lurks. That's where offenses lurk. That's where hurt and anger, condemnation, rejection. We don't like to talk about rejection. But rejection could hit even in the womb. Rejection could hit even in the womb with an unborn child. Because if you're wanting a girl and it's a boy, there's a spirit of rejection instantly. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are things that attack even as little kids, and we take it in to our adult life. And it creates insecurities. It creates unhealthy comparisons, looking at what other people has and comparing our life to it. These is all spiritual attacks because we're believing the lies of the enemy. Do you understand? It's the enemy of our soul, of discontentment. Amen. The enemy will come at us. It's like a tug of war. It's a tug of war. Our mind is battling. Our emotions is battling. It's a battle, literally, not to sin. It's a tug of war of good and evil. That's what spiritual warfare is. And it's a battle not to sin, because it's a battle of not wanting. It's a battle of not giving up. Because it's so easy to want to just give up. It's so easy to throw in the towel or to want to throw in the towel. We say, oh, this Christian walk is too hard. I was better off before I got saved. I can't handle all of these attacks. Oh, the devil's really on my back now. But let me tell you something. Life happens. Death is going to happen. Whether you're saved or not saved, financial problems is going to happen whether you're saved or not saved. There's health issues that's going to happen whether you're saved or not saved. Me personally, I'd rather go through it with the Lord. Amen. I'd rather go through it with God because it's real and it's just, it's called life. You understand? But see, spiritual warfare, it's not giving in to the temptation. It's a battle to want to keep moving forward, and it's a battle to want to give up. And so I want to talk to you. I want to read you a story out of the Bible, amen? And it's in 1 Kings, and it's chapter 20. And so I want to just start reading. I want to break it down to you. I want to break the scriptures down. I'm not putting anything up on there. That's not my style of preaching. I usually like to minister on a topic the way God gives it to me, or minister out of a story. And so God told me to minister it right out of the Bible here. Amen. And I have a few things else that I want to share with you. So chapter 20 in 1 Kings, starting in verse 1. Now Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his forces together. 32 kings were with him, with horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and made war against him, and waged war against it. Now, that word besieged literally means surrounded. He surrounded Samaria. He surrounded Israel, the children of God. The children of Israel, do you ever feel like you're surrounded by the enemy? Do you ever feel like you're surrounded by hurt, by heartache, by just things in the world that beat down on you, right? But we got to know that when we are surrounded, we know that God is there, right? We know that we're not really surrounded. Because I know I'm talking to believers. I'm not talking to non-believers tonight. I'm talking to a group of believers. Okay, so we have to know the truth. Because, see, this king came with all of his other wicked kings. That's kind of like the devil in how he took a third of the angels. It's like he doesn't only come fighting by himself. He brings some demons along with him. Do you see? And if he can't do it by himself, he assigns demons to this, to that. Go discourage her. Don't go cause offense in her life. Go give her a bad doctorate. Do you get what I'm saying? So then he goes on to say, then he sent messengers, this King Benadad, he sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel. Now we know Ahab, he was a wicked king, okay? He was the king of Israel. His wife was Jezebel. And, you know, we have come against the spirit of Jezebel, and we pray against Jezebel. Jezebel, she was a Phoenician princess, and she served the gods of Baal and Ashtoreth. And the gods of Baal was agriculture, was a nature god. So they would do nasty things to create rain and to create growth, okay? Because that's what they believed in. And so Ahab, he was the king of Israel. He was supposed to be serving our living God, Jehovah, but no, he was double-minded. He was double-minded, and so he went off to serve all of Jezebel's gods. You know, and that's kind of like us. We serve God, right? But sometimes we want to go dabble in other things. Sometimes we want to dabble in other things. Sometimes we live a lukewarm life, don't we? And so saying all that, the messengers came into the city to Ahab, the king of Israel, and said to him, thus says Ben-Hadad. Now listen to this. This is just like the devil. This is just like the devil. He says, your silver and your gold are mine, and your loveliest wives and children are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, just as you say, I and all that I have are yours. Let me tell you something. The devil wants your seed. He wants your mind, women. He wants your mind. The devil is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. But you know what this king did? He said, okay. He was willing to give it all to him. Are we willing to give our children to the devil? Are we willing to give our marriage to the devil? Are we willing to give our finances? Are we willing to give our ministry? What are we willing to do? Ahab was weak. And he was willing to give it all to the enemy. He was willing to give it all to the enemy. Then it goes on to say in verse 5. Then the messengers came back and said, thus speaks Ben-Hadad, saying, indeed, I have sent to you, saying, you shall deliver to me your silver and your gold, your wives and your children. Then it goes, but I will send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they will search your house and the houses of your servants, and I shall be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, they will put it in their hands and take it. That's just like the enemy. He wants to come in and take everything that you love. He wants to take everything that you love. And it says he takes stuff that's pleasing to us. So what's pleasing to us? What's pleasing in our eyes? Everything that we love, our peace, our joy, our faith, our health, our wealth, our family, marriage, our friendship, our grandbabies, our children, truth, hope. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to rob that from the body of Christ. He wants to rob that from each and every person in here. Okay? And you know what? Are we willing to give it to him? You might say, oh, no, I'm not. But do we read? Do we read our Bibles? Do we pray? Are we fighting? Are we doing what God called us to do? Are we on the front lines for our children? Is it okay if our kids is dabbling in pornography? Let's make it real. Are we okay with that? And we say, oh, they're boys. It's okay. It's okay. Are we okay if they're drinking? Are we okay if our children is having a drink, if they go out to the club? Oh, they're kids, they're friends. Oh, let them play. Oh, let them go out. Oh, it's fun. They're kids. That's what they're teenagers. Oh, let them live their life. I had fun when I was young. Let them do it. Is it okay that, oh, it's okay. You know what? I'm going to buy my son a six-pack. That way there he don't have to go out to the bar. I'm going to bring it home to him. That's how you play with the enemy. That's how you give in. That's how you let him take everything that's pleasing to you. By not fighting for your family. By not praying and realizing that there is a devil out there that's wanting to kill, steal, and destroy and take everything good that we have, everything pleasing to us. He wants to rob our faith. Let me tell you something. I was so shaken with anxiety, I didn't know where my faith was. But you know what? I thank God that I could call on reinforcement. Listen, like when you minister today, that was so amazing. You know, when we're not connected and we get a little weak and we stand off by ourselves, the enemy will just try to come right in. But you know what? You could call on reinforcement. And they might not have a physical shield that they could cover you with. But you know what they'll have? They'll have prayer. They'll have the word of God. They'll speak life into you. And that's what you need. We need to get around people that's going to speak life to us. People that's not going to rob us and kill us and destroy us. But we want people that's going to encourage us. You don't want to buddy up because misery loves company. We don't want to buddy up with people that's going to tear us down. You know, people that's going to agree with you while you're trying to talk bad about your husband. No, we have to cover, we have to protect, we have to encourage, we have to lift up. Amen? Can I get that table? Can somebody get me that? I always said it, I need a special pulpit built. It has to be extended this big so I can put all my stuff on there, Sister Patsy. This is way too small. Put it right here. Okay, because I have a lot of stuff written down here, and I just, listen, I said earlier, I'm not a professional preacher. I'm really not. I'm not a professional minister. I'm not a professional anything. But I'll tell you what, I'm a child of God, and I want the anointing to be in this house. I want you to get this. I want you to receive tonight, amen. Because you know what? The battle's been great, Aunt Patsy. The battle's been real. And you know what? It's not going to go in vain. And so I really want you to get the most of this. And you know what? God wants you to get the most of this. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. It's my mother-in-law. Say hi to Flo. Hi, Flo. Flo rocks. Flo's cool. Praise you, Jesus. Okay. So then we're going to go down. But I will send my servants to you tomorrow, right? And it says, I will go into your house, and then I shall be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, and they shall put it in their hands and take it, right? So the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, notice, please, and see how this man seeks trouble, for he sent to me for my wives and my children and my silver and my gold, and I did not deny it to him, but he gave it to him. See, the thing of it is, Ahab was weak. He was weak, and he did not know how to stand against the enemy. He did not know how to fight against the enemy. He did not know how to just rise up. He was weak. He was wishy-washy. He had one foot in and he had one foot out. So I want to ask you tonight, are you weak? Are you weak? Do we give in to every lie of the enemy? Do we know how to stand our ground? Can we stand our ground? Can we be armed for battle? Because, see, there is a real-life enemy that is wanting to come and kill, steal, and destroy. Then it goes on to say, and all the elders and all the people said to him, do not listen or consent. Therefore he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king all that you sent for your servant, and the first time I will do. But this thing I cannot do. And the messengers departed and brought back word to him. I want to stop right there for a minute. So see, he was willing to give his wives, his loveliest wives at that. He was willing to give his wives, and he was willing to give his children But he wasn't willing for the enemy to come in his household and take what was pleasing to him. So what do we do? Do you know how I see that? Well, Lord, I'll go to church on Sunday, but I'm not going to serve you because I have to go somewhere. I'll go to church on Sunday, but you know what? I'm not going to go on Wednesday night. Do you understand that? Lord, I'll do this for you today. We compromise with the devil. We compromise. And we bargain with the enemy. We're only willing to give him so much. We're only willing to give God so much. But yet we wonder why the enemy attacks us. We wonder why we're weak. We wonder why we are not overcomers. We wonder why we're living in fear. We wonder why we're being defeated. Because we're not standing our ground. See, he was lukewarm. I'm going to tell you this right now. A lukewarm spirit will not enter you into the kingdom of heaven. A lukewarm spirit. We know what the Bible says. It says that he spits us out. But let's put it into another word. He rejects us. Do we want God to turn his face away from us? Do we want God to close the door to us? See, we think because of our culture that we're good people and God knows my heart. I'm sorry. See, this here, it has a standard. There's a standard of holiness. There's a standard of living a right life. There's a standard. There's a standard that God wants us to live by. He wants obedience. Amen? God wants obedience. You know, there's been times where we had revivals and then people went to the casino after. I'm making it real. It's serious. Let me tell you something. I'm not picking on anybody. And if I am, I don't mean, I'm really, really not trying to hurt anybody or offend anybody. Because see, this is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of heaven and hell. Because see, the demons believe and tremble. Even the demons believe and tremble. So what makes us different than the demons? We believe that Jesus is God. We believe, right? We know that he came to save us. We know he died on the cross. So a man believes in his heart, you know, so is he, right? It says if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart. Thank you. We'll be saved. But then it says the demons believe and tremble. So what's the difference? What's the difference in the demons believing in our belief? Because they know the truth, but they reject God. We know the truth, but are we rejecting God? See, this sitting in church is not going to save you. Unfortunately, there is many souls that come to church and is involved in ministries. But you know what? If their heart's not right with the Lord, if they're living a double-minded lifestyle, lukewarm lifestyle, it's a very, very sad ending. It's going to be a very sad ending. Because see, it's only by God's grace that we could truly wholeheartedly be saved. Amen. See, the enemy wants to strip us. But see, the thing of it is, how can we defeat an enemy? How can we wholeheartedly defeat the enemy if we're in agreement with him? How can we defeat an enemy if we're partnering with him? How, you know what? If we disobey this word, then we're partnering with the enemy. If we don't believe that God can heal us, then we're partnering with the enemy. If we don't believe that we could be delivered, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm making this real tonight. For each of the people who follow me, so the king of Israel answered and said, tell them that not one who puts on his armor boasts like the one who takes it off. And it happened when Ben-Hadad heard this message, he and the kings were drinking at the command post, that he said to his servants, get ready, and they got ready, and so they went and they attacked. And now this is what I want to tell you. In verse 13 it says, suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and shall know that I am the Lord. See, Ahab even had to be convinced again. God had to convince him that he was Lord. Even on Mount Carmel, that wasn't enough. Even when the Baal prophets were defeated. When Ahab and all of his prophets, they were defeated on the mountain of Carmel, and God proved that Elijah's sacrifice that God poured down on the sacrifice, he poured fire from heaven and he consumed it. That wasn't enough for Ahab. He still had to be proven to that God was Lord. Amen. So, and like, that's like us. How many times does God heal us? How many times does God do things for us? And we still act like we have no God. We still live like God is not hearing us. Like God is not answering us. I know people that's been delivered from cancer. I know marriages has been restored. I know people that's healed finances. God has healed finances. God has healed so many things in people's lives, but we act like we have no God. Do you understand that? So he says, so Ahab said, by whom? He said, thus says the Lord, by the young leaders of the provinces that said, who will let the battle in who will set the battle in order? And you know what he said? The prophet said to him, you. So see, here's the deal, ladies. I can't set your battle in order. Debbie, Pastor Cindy can't set your battle in order. Tiffany, I can't set your battle in order. Nobody can set your battle in order. Only you have to set your own battle in order. And do you know how you do that? You do that by learning the scriptures. You do that by learning the truth. Amen. That's how you do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's how you do it. So then they start compromising with each other, and they start sending messages back to each other. King Ahab and Ben-Hadad, they start sending all these messages back to each other. And each one killed his man. And so the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Israel, escaped on a horse with the cavalry. Then the king of Israel went out and attacked the horses and the chariots, and they were killed, and all the Syrians were killed with a great slaughter. Okay, so Ben-Hadad, he won this battle, ladies. He won this battle because the prophet declared that they were going to win the battle. He had to set this battle in order. So they won. And this is what I want to share with you. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, go strengthen yourself. Take note and see what you should do for the spring of the year, because by the spring of the year, the king of Syria will come up against you. So listen, I'm just going to just chill out with that. And I just want to let you know that we have to set our battle in order, because see, there's going to be a time where we're going to win the battle. But see, we can't gloat, because just like Jesus, when he overcame temptation in the garden, when he was tempted three times by the enemy, and he overcame, but why? Because of the written word and the spoken word. Because he said, it is written. He presented him with the logos, and then he presented him with the rhema, because he spoke it out of his mouth. And let me tell you something. Jesus' word was mixed with faith. The devil came at him with the word, and his word was mixed with flesh. And so this is what I want to tell you today. He defeated the enemy, but he said the angels came and ministered to him, because the enemy was going to come back in a season. The enemy is going to come back in a season. And so that's what happens, ladies. See, we can be overcome. We can overcome, but the enemy is going to come back in a season. And then it goes on in verse 10. I want to read this to you real quick. Back in verse 10. I got to go back. It says, when it said suddenly a prophet came to him. Let me tell you something. We have to get ready for our suddenlies. You have to get ready for your suddenlies. Because, see, we could be in doom and gloom. We could think that God ain't nowhere around. But let me tell you something. There is a suddenly. Hallelujah. There is a suddenly. In Acts 2:2, it says, suddenly there came from heaven a mighty, rushing, violent wind. Holy Spirit came down. Amen. In Acts 16:26, it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Amen. There is a suddenly waiting to happen in your life. Let me tell you, ladies, there is a suddenly. And see, you know what your best weapon is? Rachel said it last night. It's forgiveness. See, we always think we got to rebuke and bind and cast out. But the biggest, biggest weapon for spiritual warfare is love. It's showing love and it's forgiven. Amen. And it's obedience. Obedience is the biggest, biggest weapon that we can use to overcome spiritual warfare. Because see, we fight against the devil, and it's like a tug of war. But you know what? If we would just get into the word and know the truth and allow the truth to set us free. Amen. We must allow the truth to set us free. So we must set our battle in order. So how do we set our battle in order? We set our battle in order by not leaning on our own understanding, by choosing to trust in the Lord. Amen. By submitting to God. That's how we choose. That's how we set our battle in order. We set our battle in order by praying, by seeking ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Then it will be added onto us. See, let me tell you something. There comes a time that we have to position ourselves. Because if we don't position ourselves, the enemy will position us. In the scriptures, it says that their God is the God of the hills. So if we find them in the plains, we'll win. That means, so their God is the God of the mountains, but if we fight him in the valley, we'll win, we'll subdue him. But see, he's God on the mountain and he's God in the valley. He's God when your prayers is getting answered, and he's God when they're not. He's God with the bad doctor's report, and he's still God with the good doctor's report. He's God when the bills are being paid, and he's still God when the eviction notice is at your door. He is still God, and there ain't nothing that nobody could do to take that away. He is a good God. God, and he is a faithful God. And we must know that we have God on our side. Amen. Because let me tell you something. The only way you're going to win this battle is if we know the truth, and the truth will literally set us free. Let me tell you something. There is power in the words that we speak. There is power. And that's one thing I want to share to you. Because see, we create our own storms. We build up our own battles by the way we talk. Because we're constantly complaining. We're constantly complaining about the storm, about the mountain. Do you know that if you speak about the mountain, it'll grow? But if you talk to the mountain, it's going to go. So it's time that these mountains leave out of our life. Amen. It's time. And see, let me tell you something. The children of Israel, they came out of bondage, right? They came out of bondage, and you know what? They were going through spiritual warfare. They were going through some battles. Because let me tell you something. They came out of this bondage, but then when they got into their present time in the wilderness, they still complained. They weren't content. They was complaining about the food. They was complaining about everything. They literally wanted to go into their future, but their heart was set back on the past. They was worried about eating the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They was like, this is my term. This is I'm going to be in Lou Dodd form. My mom, oh God, what's wrong, God? Why did we leave Egypt, God? For what reason, God? Well, you took me away from all the good food. Now I got to eat this stupid bread from what? This dry bread that's fallen down? It's like, oh my God, what's wrong with you, God? Why did you take me out of here? They did nothing but complain. They did nothing but complain. And you know what their complaining did? Their complaining caused them to die in the wilderness. They didn't even see the promised land. And see, let me tell you something. When you go into the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says that the word that we heard They heard it as well, but they did not mix it with faith. Because see, you could get this word in you, but if you don't believe it, and if you don't trust God, and you don't obey it, you know what it's like? It's like looking at a delicious recipe, reading all the ingredients in it, and just wanting it. And you're never going to have it because you're never going to bake it. That's what reading the word is like when we don't obey it. It's seeing all the good stuff, seeing the promises, seeing the power of God, but you're going to be exempt from it if we don't obey the word. That's why there are so many defeated Christians, because nobody's reading the Bible. Nobody's reading the Bible. Listen, I was doing some studying. We talked about swords, right? Pull this off for me. Here. We were talking about swords. And so when I was studying, now I know Elsie studied and she talked about a sword. And it was like a little dagger. I forgot the name of the word in Greek. I think it's called Makara. It means the sword of the spirit in Greek. And when I studied that, now I got a different measurement. But when I hear more, they had more than one sword. So they said that the sword was between 17 and 23 inches long, the blade. And so, see, we always assume that it's a big long sword like this one, to where they could set back and they could fight. But you know what? The blade was shorter, because when the enemy came close to him, this wasn't meant for fighting. This was meant for killing. And sometimes we just want to fight and argue with the devil. We just want to fight and argue with the circumstance. But God wants us to take the word, and he wants us to decapitate the enemy. He wants us to kill. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to use this sword, the word of God. Because, see, this here is what complaining does. Complaining leads to different roads. Complaining will literally lead us to destruction, to wandering. It will lead us to disobedience. It will lead us to sin. Unbelief will lead us to no purpose and separation from God. But faith will literally lead us to life, confidence, trust, and victory. We must mix faith with the gospel. We must mix faith with the gospel. Because we could quote the word day in and day out. But if we're not going to mix it with faith, it's going to be useless to us. Amen? So listen, you know how you mix it with faith? When you're hearing a bad report, okay, see, because faith cannot deny fact. If I got to open, I'm going to be real with you. I wear an ostomy. So I can't act like I don't have it. It's there. It's there. I can feel it. It's right here. Okay, I wear an ostomy, and it's there. But I have faith that God's going to heal me. So you know what? I could say, God, I'm trusting you, and I'm believing you according to your word, God. You sent your word to heal my disease, and you sent your word to deliver me from my destruction. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God, you gave me abundant life. You gave me purpose. You have a plan for me. You gave me purpose. You say I'm your masterpiece, Lord. You didn't intend for me to live this way. You intend for me to have freedom. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the power of getting into the Word of God. If you want to defeat the enemy in your life, if you want to be armed for battle, we must start working the Word. You have to get into the Word to know the truth so the truth can set you free. Because there's too many born-again Christians walking around believing the lies of the enemy and living a defeated life, living a lukewarm lifestyle. Let me tell you something. A lukewarm lifestyle is not going to do good for you or your family. Because, see, it flows from the head down. If you want your family saved, if you want your children saved, then we need to do something about it. See, if you go on an airplane, you have to put the oxygen mask on you first before you can put it on anybody else. So believe me, if we need to help somebody in our household, in our family, within the body of Christ, we need to get filled up first. But see, we're looking for everybody to fill us up. But we need to learn how to walk. We need to learn how to fight. We need to learn how to live again. Amen? It's time. It's been too long that the body of Christ has been too wishy-washy. There has been times where we had amazing services up here. And there was a wedding going on. And you know what? We come up here and we worship. We get prayed on. We might even get slain in the spirit. But then the same people that I see praising God and worshiping, I see them drinking and they dodge me. And then they dodge me. Do you understand? Don't dodge me. Don't dodge me. Do you understand? You know what my prayer is? My prayer in this house is for the fear of the Lord to come back. For the fear of the Lord to come back. Because nobody has the fear of the Lord. We have taken the goodness and the holiness of God and we took it for granted. We think we can live any which way we want to live. We think we can have our cake and eat it too. But that's only on your birthday. We cannot have our cake and eat it too. We cannot live the best of both worlds. I'm sorry. There's going to be some dying to self to live for the Lord. There has to be some self-crucifixion. And let me tell you something, there comes with the power of the Word of God. We must know the Word of God. We must work the Word of God. Let me tell you, see this here? This is a very special little journal that I have. This is the power of the Word of God. In 2010, and some of you heard this story before, but I'll never stop telling it because it brought life to my family. There is declarations in this here. There is scriptures and there is declarations that I have written out over my children, that I have written out over my daughter-in-laws back in 2010. What is that, 20 years ago? I mean 10 years ago? 10 years ago? My sons were 12 and 14 at the time. Nowhere near ready for marriage. Nowhere near ready to be an adult. But there was a declaration written out over them that they're mighty men of God. That they're blessed, they're saved, they're sanctified. That bad company corrupts good character, but they're of good company and they won't be corrupted. That not one of their bones will be broken. That they will meditate in the Lord day and night. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's taking the truth out of these scriptures and bringing them to life. Listen, I don't know what you expected tonight. Maybe you expected a big powerhouse shouting and screaming message. But I have to tell you truth tonight. This is truth. We have to get into the Word, ladies. We have to work the Word. We have to declare the Word. We have to speak the Word. That is your weapon. That is your weapon over your life. That's how you're going to defeat the enemy. Amen? That's how you're going to defeat the enemy. That's how you're going to strengthen yourself. You're going to strengthen yourself with fasting. You're going to strengthen yourself with worship, with prayer, and with reading the Bible. These are the basic instructions for Christianity. But there's so much heartache in the body of Christ because nobody is doing it. Nobody is doing it, Sister Patsy. We've been 25 and 30 year old Christians, but it's only by name. Do you want power? Do you want the power to be set free? Do you want the power to lay hands on sick people and watch them be delivered? Do you want the power of God to rest in your life? Aren't we sick of just wanting it and never going after it? It's up to you to make a choice. It says, he said, who's going to set this battle in order? And the man of God said, you. Just like you were saying earlier. You know what the Lord showed me is that I hold the key. This is very significant to me. It's because, you know what? This, my keys cannot unlock your doors. Or nor can they open them. But only my key can unlock or open my doors. So it's up to me if I want doors closed in my life or if I want doors opened in my life. And so, see, we have to learn how to start fighting our own battles. We have to set our battle in order. We have to set our battle in order, ladies. Because let me tell you something. This is not fun and games. Amen. This is not fun and games. Do we realize the world that we're living in today? It's already set. They're doing away with money. They're doing away with change. They're doing away with cash. Do you know that that's setting things up for the Antichrist? Do you know that's setting things up for the one world order? Do you know why wearing a mask is such a mandate? Because it's creating behavior modification. What it's doing is it's preparing you for the mark. It's preparing people for the mark of the devil. And you know, do you know that the body of Christ has compromised with the world and with the mandates of this world? Right now, if you listen to some pastors, they sound just like the world. No churches is standing up and doing what they need to do for the body of Christ. There's churches that's closing down. There's churches that is giving in and not doing worship. Because they're giving in to the lies of the devil. Nobody is making a stand for the Lord. And see, that's why this battle is so hard. Amen. That's why this battle is so hard. Do you want to know why? Because see, if you lose the battle, you won't be able to do what you're called to do. Do you know that God has a plan for each and every one of you? It's not only for pastors. It's not only for people with a title. God wants you to minister. And you know what? Everybody's calling ain't behind a pulpit. Maybe you might not ever hold a microphone in your hand. But maybe there has to be enough God in you to minister to somebody at a grocery store. Maybe there needs to be enough God in you to tell somebody it's going to be okay. Let me pray with you. It's time that we grow up. Amen. It's time that the body of Christ grows up. And literally be the woman of God who God called them to be. To know your identity, that you are more than conquerors, that you have power and authority. Amen. God wants you to stand for Jesus. But are we going to bow down? Come on, let's make it real. What if the rapture happens and you get left? Are you going to take the mark? Are you going to take the mark? What are you going to do? Really? It's not impossible. Is our heart right? Are we really going to go? Are we really going to go into rapture? Do we have unforgiveness in our heart? Because if we do, if we have unforgiveness in our heart, then be prepared whether to take the mark or not take it. If we have unbelief in our heart, this is a real situation here. This is life and death. And see how the enemy works? Ahab, he compromised. He compromised with the enemy. Even at the end of that story, he made a peace treaty with the enemy. He said, I'll go my way and you go your way. They made a peace treaty. Are we making a pact with the devil? Are we holding hands with the devil because we want the world and we want God? What do we want? Are we willing to deny ourselves? Are we willing to die? Because, see, that's what it takes to be armed for battle. You got to be willing to die. Because, see, every soldier that comes into every war, they're willing to die for their country. They're willing to die. Are we willing to suffer? Are we willing to take on persecution for our God? Let me tell you something. I'm not going to act like I am. I'm scared to death. I don't want to be persecuted. I want to be persecuted by nobody. But let me tell you something. There's Christians that's going to persecute you. The church is going to persecute you. The body of Christ is going to persecute you. Because see, if you stand for Jesus or if you don't, you're going to get persecuted. So who wants to stand for Jesus? Who wants to protest against the devil? Who wants to protest against the devil? Who wants to get your signs? Who wants to stand? And who wants to protest against the devil? Because you know what makes me mad? You got people protesting. And you got people that's protesting for nonsense. They're protesting for sin. They're literally killing, stealing, and destroying. The five-year-old little boy got killed. The neighbor came in his yard and killed him, shot him. But you don't hear about it on the news. You don't hear about it on the news. You don't hear about nothing like that. So I want to stand for Jesus. I don't want to compromise with the devil. I want to stand for the Lord. I want to make a statement for Jesus. Amen. That's what I want to do. I want to protest against the enemy. Because the devil ain't having my family. He's not having my husband. He ain't having my kids. And he sure ain't going to have my grandbabies. And he sure ain't going to have my ministry. He's not going to have our church. He's not going to have my friends. He's not going to steal the word from me. He's not going to destroy my prayer life. He's not going to fill me with intimidation. He's not going to fill me with insecurity. I'm not going to believe the lies of the enemy. I'm going to stand for Jesus. Because my Jesus, he's a deliverer. And he come to set me free. Amen. Do you want to stand for Jesus? If you want to stand for Jesus, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Amen. God. Father God, I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hadarabasaya, God. God, you're worthy to be praised, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah.